Well, hello and welcome to Antioch. Hello to those of you who call Antioch home, to those of you who are visiting with us today, and to those joining online, a special hello to you as well. I know it's hard to believe, but today is the first Sunday of August. The first Sunday of August. So if you would, just take a moment and greet those around you. Say hello, see how everyone is doing before we continue in worship. Just take about 1 minute and greet those around you. All right. Thanks for doing that. Well, I always want to take time and just see how everyone is doing as we continue in our worship series. So thanks for, in our worship service. So thanks for doing that. Well, we are continuing in our series today, walking through the Gospel of Mark. And today we will be in Mark chapter 3, verses 21 through 34, if you want to go ahead and make your way there. Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 34, if you want to go ahead and make your way there. Also, if you haven't grabbed a copy yet, I want to encourage you to grab a copy of your Mark Journaling Bible. This is a really good way to keep track of the scripture as we go through it. We have some in the back. We have them on sale right now for the low price of $75. I'm just kidding. They're free. But if you haven't, go ahead and grab a copy of your Mark Journaling Bible. So several years ago, I joined a fitness boxing gym called Farrell's Extreme Body Shaping. Doesn't that sound cool? Farrell's Extreme Body Shaping. And this particular gym was unique in that it operated on a 10-week rotation system. So you would join the gym with a group of other people who was your cohort. And for 10 weeks, you would get cardio kickboxing classes, strength training, stretching and yoga, and a nutrition plan to follow. And you would do that for a whole 10 weeks with your entire cohort. And week one was always orientation week. And the guy who was the owner of the gym told our cohort in week one, he said, I'll never forget this, he said, you get out of the program what you put in to the program. You get out of the program what you put in to the program. He said, if you're committed and if you come to class and you try your hardest and you don't slack off and you follow the nutrition plan, you're going to begin to see results in your life. You're going to lose weight, you're going to tone up, you're going to build muscle, you're going to become more flexible. It won't happen overnight, but if you put in the work and if you stay committed and if you remain consistent, you will begin to see results. And then he said, on the other hand, if you skip out on coming to the workouts, and if you slack off, and if you really don't give it your all, and if you cheat on the nutrition plan, and if you basically come with this I don't care attitude, you won't see results. And in some cases, you may actually go backwards in your fitness journey. So what this gym owner wanted everyone to know was, you can't be lazy and expect results. You cannot be lazy and expect results. You get out of it what you put in. And I think this is the point that Jesus is making today in our passage. When it comes to the Christian faith, when it comes to the Christian life, in order to grow and mature as a Christian, it's going to require some effort on our part. If we want to become stronger, more effective for the kingdom, and have an impact in this world, we have to be willing to put in some work. Otherwise, we risk becoming stagnant or even going backwards in our faith journey. And so as we start, I want to be clear from the beginning. This does not mean that we strive to work our way into God's good graces or that we have to work hard to get God to like us more or to love us more. The Christian faith is not works-based. Everything that needed to be done, Jesus did in his completed, finished work on the cross. What we're talking about today is the importance of being intentional about working hard and bringing our Christian faith into that. And so with that, if you would, please stand as we read Mark 4, verses 21 through 34. This is what it says. He said to them, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scattered seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Again, he said, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of God. You may be seated. It's important to remember that this passage is part of a larger conversation Jesus is having with his 12 disciples and a few other people who are around. And as we saw from last week, chapter 4 begins with Jesus telling the parable of the four soils, which represented the four different ways people responded to the gospel message of Jesus. And today, Jesus is continuing this conversation, and he shifts and he goes from talking about the responses to the gospel to the way those who have accepted the gospel should live it out. So he starts off here with the image of a lamp. And this image of a lamp is an image that the people during this time would have understood, because the type of lamp he's talking about is the kind that was made of clay, and it was used specifically at night. That's the thing to remember. It was used specifically at night to provide light for a dark room. So what Jesus is getting at here is how the Christian, how the follower of Jesus should stand out in this dark world. The impact a follower of Jesus should have. The lamp represents the Christian and the message they have about the good news of Jesus. And the darkness represents all the evil and wickedness and sin all around us in our world. And the Christian is supposed to let their light shine, meaning they're supposed to live in a way that people see the light of Jesus in them. But what Jesus is warning against is, for whatever reason, not letting your light shine, covering it up with a bowl, not being effective in this world. That word bowl is actually what we would refer to as a basket. And I was able to find a photo of kind of what it looks like here, if we could put up that photo. So he says, you have a lamp, you have a light. Be sure not to cover up your light with a bowl. And so this covering up can happen because of a couple of different things. Sometimes it's because of sin or a pattern of sin or a sinful lifestyle. Someone is covering up their light. Or because someone is simply choosing not to tell others that they are a follower of Jesus. They aren't sharing their faith with anyone. Their light is not shining like it should. So whatever the reason, either way, Jesus says it shouldn't be happening. Instead, you should be intentional about living your life in a way that shines brightly for Jesus. This is what he means when he says putting it on a stand. So he says, put your light on a stand. Don't cover up what's inside of you. Let it shine for Jesus. So this is the first instance of Jesus encouraging his followers to not become complacent, but to make sure they're putting in the work of growing by making sure their lights are not covered up. Don't be a lazy Christian who lets their light be covered up. Then he really drills down on this concept of not becoming complacent or being a lazy Christian. And that he says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Now, different variations of this verse show up in Matthew and in Luke, and they have different meanings because of the different contexts. Matthew uses a similar saying to talk about the danger of hypocritically judging other people. Luke uses it to talk about the danger of unforgiveness in our lives, but when we refuse to forgive other people. But here in Mark, he uses it not to talk about judging other people or to talk about unforgiveness, but instead the amount of effort we put into our Christian walk. And when Mark uses this, this was another image that they would have immediately understood. And the best way to understand is to think about that word measure as how much you bring to be measured. So that word measured, the best way to understand it is how much you bring to be measured. So what Jesus wanted his audience to think about was the marketplace, where things were sold by weight, by how much they weighed. So think about the farmer's market. And during Jesus' time, you would be responsible for going and picking your own food, and you could pick as little or as much as you like. As little or as much as you like. But instead of a set price, the price was set by how much your basket weighed. And how much your basket weighed was completely determined by how much you put into the basket. And how much you put into the basket was determined by how much effort you put into putting things into the basket. So if you only brought a little to be weighed and measured, you would only get a little back, and you would only have a little food to enjoy. But if you put in the work and the effort to get a full basket, even though you had to work harder to fill your basket, when you brought a lot to be measured, you would get a lot back in return, and you would enjoy the fruit of your efforts. You would have a lot more food to live on and to enjoy with your family than the person who didn't put in that much work and came with an empty basket or a half-empty basket. So Jesus is saying, look, this correlates to our Christian lives. If we don't put that much effort into praying or reading the word or walking with Jesus, eventually we're going to feel like we haven't put that much effort into praying or reading the word or walking with Jesus. On the other hand, if we take the time and the effort to delve into prayer and to study God's word and to fill our basket with the things of God, we're going to reap the benefits of a life spent with God. Everyone wants the benefits of a full basket, but not everyone is willing to put in the work to get a full basket. And Jesus, he takes it a step further and says, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. What this means is that people who remain faithful and committed and diligent and are intentional in their walk with God will be rewarded for their faithfulness and their commitment and their diligence to walking with God. What they have, they will be given more. God will bless that. Now, I want to be clear, church, this does not mean that you will always be materially blessed. I want to put that in, this does not always mean that you will be materially blessed. Filling your basket with prayer and the word of God doesn't guarantee you a big house or a fancy car or a big salary, a big income, or a life free from pain. Instead, what it does mean is that you will reap the benefits of the heavenly things. Joy, peace, that unconditional love. That's what he's talking about here. When you get those things out of filling your basket, that's what he's referring to. Then Jesus shifts again, and now he begins to describe the kingdom of God in verses 26 through 29. He says it's like a man who scatters seed on the ground, and he goes about his life, and then the seed grows, but the man doesn't know exactly how. He cannot pinpoint exactly how this happens. He knows that he scattered the seed. And then one day he comes and the seed has grown into a full kernel of wheat. What Jesus is saying is to his followers is, listen, you're not always going to understand how I operate. The kingdom of God grows and works in people's lives in ways you cannot always see or understand, but it's the sovereign will of God, and sometimes the way God chooses to work in someone's life will remain a mystery. Then he uses another parable to describe what the kingdom of God is like in verses 30 through 34. He says it's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed on earth. It's about the size of a grain of sand. Think about that. It's about the size of a grain of sand. He says the mustard seed is small, but when you plant it, it grows and becomes the largest garden plant. So big that it has enough room for birds to perch on it and find shade in it. So by using this illustration, Jesus is telling them that the kingdom of God will have small, humble beginnings, but will continue to grow into something great. Will continue to grow into something magnificent, something great. Then Mark ends by telling us that everything we just read is simply just a sample of the kinds of teachings and parables that Jesus used. So what we just read is just a small snippet of all the things that Jesus taught. And so again, like usual, Mark packs a lot into the way he writes. But I do think there's some things we can glean from this passage. So what is God saying to us from this passage? Number one, I think we need to remove any bowls in our life. Remove any bowls in your life. Remember how this passage starts off. Jesus was reminding them that as his disciples, they had a light inside of them that was to shine specifically in dark places, to bring light to a dark room. And they needed to watch their lives closely so that they made sure they were not covering up their light. And as followers of Jesus, the same still applies to us today. We live in a dark world, and people are walking around in darkness. You have the light of Jesus, but you have to put in the effort to make sure you're letting your light shine so people can see Jesus. Don't be a lazy Christian. Because if we're not careful, what can often happen is we begin to fade into the world and we no longer stand out. Our light is covered up either because of sinfulness or because we're choosing not to tell others about the light. We're just not telling people about Jesus. We never share our faith in Jesus with others. So let me ask you, what bowl do you need to remove so your light can shine brighter? Here's another question. What's one thing you can do this week to let your light shine just a little brighter? I thought about this earlier this week. If you're a 60-watt light bulb, what do you need to do this week to become a 61-watt light bulb? What's one thing you can do this week to make your light shine just a little brighter? Number two, I think we need to remember, don't be a coasting Christian. Remember the illustration Jesus used about the marketplace and the amount to be measured in your basket. He's telling them, listen, if you only bring a little, you're going to get a little out. But if you bring a lot, you're going to get a lot out and even more. And he's using that to describe our Christian walk. If we only bring to God a little time in prayer or a little time in his word, then eventually we're going to feel the effects of the little time we put into our relationship with Jesus. And I think it's easy to become a coasting Christian, to not really put in a lot of time or effort into our prayer life or our devotional life or sharing our faith with others. We just sort of coast as a Christian. But on the other hand, if we have substantial amounts of time in prayer and in the word and spending time with Jesus, we're going to reap the benefits of that. And remember, this doesn't necessarily mean that life will be easy or you're going to go through life pain-free. But you can experience an increased amount of joy and peace because you have immersed yourself in Jesus. So here's the question. How full or empty is your basket? How full or empty is your basket? Here's another question. In what ways are you coasting in your Christian life? In what ways are you coasting in your Christian life? I think we need to also remember, don't give up on people. Don't give up on people. Jesus told us in verse 27 that the kingdom of God is like a man who scattered the seed, but he didn't know how it grew. What Jesus is telling them is, look, the kingdom of heaven works in ways you don't always understand. But it's not your responsibility to always understand. It's your responsibility to sow the seed, to scatter the seed, and then to trust God for the results. So maybe today you know someone who isn't following Jesus, and you've been praying over them, and maybe you've been inviting them to church, but it seems like nothing is working. Don't give up on that person. Keep praying for that aunt or that uncle or that cousin or that brother or that sister or that coworker or that family member. God is working in their life. Keep spreading the seed of Jesus, because you never know what Jesus is doing in his or her life. And one day, you may be able to look up and say, wow, look what Jesus did in that person's life. So who do you need to not give up on today? Who's the person you need to not give up on? And then I think we need to remember, you're part of something larger than yourself. You're part of something larger than yourself. Remember the mustard seed. It's the size of a grain of sand. But when it's planted, it grows into something large. That's what you're a part of. The worldwide movement of bringing people to Jesus. And right now, you sharing your faith with one person may seem insignificant. It may seem insignificant. But you never know how that can help someone grow and the impact that you're having for the kingdom of God. And that should encourage us. So don't quit putting in the effort in your Christian walk. We cannot afford to sit back and be lazy Christians. We have to get out there and tell people about Jesus, because we live in a dark world. Because in addition to eternal life, we also reap the benefits of our labor. So let me sum up. Number one, we get to let our light shine in a dark world. In what ways can your light shine just a little bit brighter this week? Number two, we get the blessing that comes with a full basket. How is your basket? Is it empty? Is it kind of half full, or is it full? Number three, we get to see Jesus change people's lives even though we don't know how he does it. So don't give up on people. The kingdom is working in ways we don't always understand. Number four, we get to remember that you are part of something bigger than yourself. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you are working in the lives of others and in our lives, even when we don't always understand it. Help us this week, Jesus, to shine our lights brightly and to live in a way that we're not covering up our light. We want to do that, Jesus. We don't want to cover up what you've given us. Help us to shine brightly. Help us to come with a full basket, to put in the effort through prayer and quiet time and devotion time to bring to you a full basket, Jesus. Thank you that we get to see you work in the lives of others, and thank you for reminding us that we are part of something bigger than ourselves. We pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.